Parichit, cursed by a Brahmana boy. Text number 5. Tarvatkalina Bhavavit.
Tarvatkalina Bhavavit.
Pravishto Biha Savata.
Pravishto Biha Savata.
Yavadisho Mahanburyam.
Yavadisho Mahanburyam.
Abhimanyava Ikarat. Tavakalirna Bravavit Pravishto Biha Sarvata
Pravishto Biha Sarvata
Yerlandisho Mahan Gurvyam
Yerlandisho Mahan Gurvyam
Abhimanyava Ikarat
Abhimanyava Ikarat
Tavakalirna Bravavit Pravishto Biha Sarvata that and so far in Bhagavatam we have heard of who have we heard of the great presenters and hearers of the Bhagavatam? Who would be first in line? So we're up to Prigit. Back. Before Vyasa? No. That was Muni, yeah. So of course, we heard about Narada Muni and Śrīla Vyāsadeva, Śukadeva Goswami, Sudhir Goswami and Brihat Maharaj. So very, very exalted personalities. Very, very exalted personalities. And by understanding that, what is their most relishable subject matter to hear, question them, that is Srimad Bhagavatam, then we understand what is Srimad Bhagavatam. In the same way, we don't expect that, Einstein would spend his time reading Mickey Mouse comics. Not that Mickey Mouse was invented, but we can understand the nature of a person's very elevated position, or the subject matter that they're discussing. And of course, we can understand the nature of the subject matter by the people who are discussing it. So we're hearing now that Prigit Maharaj, and it was described amongst the many questions that the sages asked, that it is said they've heard Maharaj Prigit is a first class devotee of the Lord. His birth and activities are all wonderful. Tell us about them. So previously in the previous chapters, Sudha Goswami has answered this about his birth and his activities. His activities, of course, they also asked, in the next question, why did he fast until death? But in answering that, the first question, we heard what are his activities. So what are the activities that we've heard about in Maharaj Prigit? What are the wonderful activities which is in Balashi?
He gave Mother Earth to Ainot for giving you are receiving the remnants of the Yagnas, but you are not returning to the people. So he was very angry at this.
He was angry at Mother Earth?
Mother Earth.
Was he angry at Mother Earth?
Yeah, why she was not giving? She's not reciprocating with she's receiving the remnants and not returning to the people.
He said, so that's one aspect. What would be something even more prominent, in Prigit Maharaj's activities. That's sort of the attention upon in this verse as well.
Very strong preacher.
Yeah, he actually punished and stopped Kali in his tracks. That's a quite an amazing activity. These are the very prominent, and of course he was a very wonderful ruler, uncompromising. But he stopped, so they wanted to know what about his birth, and he said, we heard about his birth, which was we touched upon again here. But his activities, which were asked about, is particularly how he ruled the kingdom. Because Kali entered. When did Kali enter? Which day did Kali enter?
The day Krishna left.
Kali Yuga, that very day. And so here we have Kali has entered, but he could not actually exert his influence because Maharaj Prakrit was there. Now in these verses here in this 18th chapter, we also understand that Prakrit Maharaj was completely surrendered to Krishna and very, very fearless. So now we're, the next question after what his activities was, why did he fast to death? What was the nature of his death? And the nature of his death, of course, is that he was completely Krishna conscious, completely surrendered to Krishna, therefore he was not fearless. He was not fearful. Therefore they wanted to hear more about this. Srila Prabhupada also mentions in the purport to chapter 17, verse 23, that as you were describing about Mother Earth, he came across Mother Earth and the bull in the form of religion, and it described that part of his wonderful activities was how he gave protection to the cows and the brahmanas. And one who actually protects the cows and the brahmanas, they are the two pillars of spiritual advancement, which the Prabhupada mentions in that purport.
He is considered the incarnation of Krishna. The incarnation of Lord Krishna.
Incarnation
of Lord Krishna.
He is empowered, yes, empowered. But he is Jiva Tattva, empowered, not Vishnu Tattva. The representative of Vishnu. Is it mentioned in the incarnation?
Important.
Empowered, because, he spread Krishna consciousness throughout his kingdom, and unless one is empowered by Krishna, it's not possible to do that. So these are some of the activities we've been discussing, and now we get to hear some of another set of qualities of Maharaj Prakrit. And of course, in understanding these great qualities, this great personality, it helps us also to understand the Srimad Bhagavatam. In essence, the which begins in one sense, Sukadeva Goswami begins to speak the Srimad Bhagavatam in Canto 2 predominantly. And apart from setting the scene as to the greatness of the Srimad Bhagavatam by understanding its speakers and hearers, this first canto helps us also to understand the exalted position of the Srimad Bhagavatam through various verses. One time Srila Prabhupada was talking with Professor Hopkins in Philadelphia, and that professor asked him that, if you were to select one or two verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam or from your whole teachings, from any of your books, as to what is the most important, for people to understand, what are your teaching, Prabhupada? What is the most important thing, Srila Prabhupada, then, selected verses from the first canto that, the ultimate goal of life is actually to attain love of God. That is. So, anyone know that slogan? Second chapter. But, this is the ultimate purpose of life. The ultimate purpose of philosophy and religion. So here we're going to hear some other qualities about Prakrit Maharaj, particularly his ability to accept fate, even when fate is, you know, brings death untimely, which is, you know, fate is accepting our destiny, or accepting everything as the will of Krishna, and being completely surrendered to that will of Krishna, even when death comes. It is very difficult when things happen to us. You know, there may be disease, you know, or accidents, or poverty. You know, there's so many things. We can go blind. We can, you know, not be able to walk. You know, not be able to speak. We can lose a limb. We can, you know, lose our property. We can lose our partner. We can lose our children. You know, everything. You know, it's destiny. Difficult to accept. Ultimately, if one finds out that one, you know, everything will be taken. Death, of course, means everything is taken. But Prithvi Maharaj accepted that as the will of Krishna. And, you know, that particular quality is a quality of someone who is completely Krishna conscious and completely surrendered to Krishna and, you know, who understands Krishna. So this is. We're understanding now these qualities of Prithvi Maharaj through his death being cursed by the snake bird. We saw that in the previous chapter that even the bull of religion, when asked, what is your, you know, who has brought upon you this fateful destiny, you know, situation where you're being beaten and you're in this, you know, very disturbed condition of life, you know, when he's being attacked by Kaliva's son of God. So he understood that, yes, this is, you know, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. But he never said, you know, oh, it's Krishna, you know, this is Krishna's will. Because he was a little bewildered, just to some degree by the, there was some doubtfulness, a little bit of doubtfulness by the material energy and by the nature of Kali, personified. So sometimes we see that even in devotees who are very, you know, religious or philosophical people. Sometimes, you know, it's easy when you read in the book, oh yes, the Bible should accept, you know, everything is Krishna's will, exposed like that. But, you know, when it comes, you know, the circumstances, what's happening here, you know, and even when it's not happening to oneself, something happens to another devotee. But, you know, it's very difficult. Very difficult. And this is what happened to. So he didn't say, you know, he knew this is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but he didn't really. But Prithvi Maharaj, you know, he just, you know, it's Krishna. Oh, this is Krishna. How did he know? Because he's Krishna conscious, but Krishna actually saved him. Krishna appeared within the womb of Uttara and saved him when he was about to be killed from the very beginning of his life. And therefore, of course, he got the name Prithvi because he was always searching for that personality, you know, always examining everyone. You know, is this Krishna? That's not Krishna. And so he understood if Krishna can save one, then of course Krishna can also kill one. If Krishna can save me, I'm about to be killed, he can save me again. With God's power. So it's Krishna at that. So there was not even the trace of bewilderment or influence of Kali or the material energy in general. Kali Yuga is very difficult because, you know, we're in this world and generally the material world enough is illusory enough. But, you know, when Kali steps up, sonified Kali, and throws his toughness worth in, it becomes very, very difficult to, you know, remain on the platform of the Absolute. So, you know, Prithvi Maharaj is therefore accepted that, you know, whatever happens to me is the will of Krishna. I accept that it's Krishna's grace, you know, his kindness, his mercy. And there must be some plan. And of course, that's also the difficulty, is that it's one thing we say, okay, something, you know, extraordinary has happened. It's very, very difficult. But what is the plan? So we may even understand it. This is Krishna's mercy, but Krishna's grace, Krishna's will, but why? Which is a question we should ask. You know, what is Krishna's plan? We should try, it's very difficult to understand Krishna's plan, but in general we can understand Krishna's plan. Krishna's plan, what is Krishna's plan? That's it. There's not that, yeah, that's very good. So, Krishna wants to purify us so that we can, you know, go back to Godhead and, you know, purify everyone, to take them back to Godhead. That is the ultimate, you know, underlying plan of Krishna. So he, and sometimes, you know, what Krishna puts us through is also maybe helping others on their spiritual journey. If we can understand Krishna's plan and surrender to Krishna, then what happens to us also becomes helpful to others. Just like Srila Prabhupada. You know, we know that when Srila Prabhupada was in one of the cities in India, and he was you know, doing his preaching work, this was a cow, you know, just out of nowhere, just gored him. And, you know, he fell on the ground, and, you know, he was in a lot of pain, and, you know, quite injured. He couldn't, you know, even Srila Prabhupada was thinking, you know, because he'd actually just left his wife, he'd just taken Vanaprastha, and he was thinking, you know, he said this in one of his letters, maybe I've done the wrong thing. You know, maybe Krishna didn't want me to, you know, do this like that. But then, you know, he thought everything through, and of course remembered the instructions of his spiritual master, and you know, understood Krishna's plan, and you know, he understood no, you know, Krishna's. I think I'm not sure whether he'd actually taken sannyas by that stage. I think he was Vanaprastha, but he was, you know, considering whether he'd sort of, you know, it's very difficult sometimes to understand, even someone like Srila Prabhupada, you know. Of course he did understand, and we understand now that, you know, Krishna showed us through Srila Prabhupada's activities that he was prepared to undergo, you know, whatever difficulties, you know, even the greatest difficulties, and that he would sacrifice, you know, everything, you know, his life, his intelligence, his energy, his money, and he was prepared to suffer any inconvenience, you know, practically wandering around without protection, without a home, without food, to fulfill Krishna's, you know. So Krishna was showing us that, you know, whatever happens, he won't stop.
Yeah. In a way, spiritual manifestation,
yes. So, you know, sometimes it's a little difficult to understand, but we see that in Srila Prabhupada's activities, you know, his accepting everything is Krishna's will, you know, means that others, you know, he's thinking, of course, in his humility, he will be purified. He's already a great purified soul. But actually, you know, it's very helpful for us. You know. So, you know, we see also in you know, Christianity that Jesus was crucified. Prabhupada said that when he heard that Jesus was crucified, he was very, very sad to hear that. You know, it's very, you know, because we understand that pure devotees, you don't want to see them have any difficulty at all. And then he said, and then I think he was traveling through Hrishikesh or somewhere in northern India, and he said, I saw that he had actually gone to India, and that he had not been killed, and that he had actually, you know, continued his pastimes in India. So then he said, then I was happy. And, but, you know, certainly there was some inconvenience. But, so, you know, we understand this. This is some of the things that we exemplified in this section of the Srimad Bhagavatam. And so then, yesterday, of course, we see that the verse was that after leaving all his associates, the king surrendered himself as a disciple of the son of Vyas, Sukadeva Goswami, and thus he was able to understand the actual position of the personality of Kali. So, what did Parikshit Maharaj do? He understood, well, death is coming. If you accept that as the will of the Lord, so okay, you know, it's Krishna's will, you know, I'm about to die, therefore, you know, I'll just go home, I won't do anything, I'll just sit there in my armchair and, you know, put my feet up, I'm going to die, so I won't do anything from now on. Now, of course, this is, you know, he accepted what is the plan, you know, Krishna has some purpose in this. I remember when in the 1980s, I was doing Sankirtan, you know, door to door, and I knocked on the house of these hippies. And when I went in to their home, they were all, you know, smoking marijuana and drinking alcohol and watching television. And I said, "What do you do?" And they said, "This is what we do every day." At that. And I said, "Well, you know, why don't you do something more purposeful, you know, more fruitful?" And they said, "Because the world's going to end." That, you know, so they were actually quite fearful, you know, that there's going to be another war. They were quite sincere, you know, that there's going to be a war, but it's going to be finished. So there's, you know, smoke marijuana and you know, drink and just watch TV. Because what's the use of doing anything? You know, it's all going to be useless. So what's the use of doing anything? But, you know, one who's Krishna conscious, they understand, no, you know, the activity is we should surrender to Krishna. And that surrender means activities. So Parikshit Maharaj, he took shelter of Krishna's representative, Sukadeva Goswami. He surrendered to the spiritual master. And he heard the Srimad Bhagavatam from him. And he intently absorbed himself in the Srimad Bhagavatam to the very last moment. Therefore, you know, again, we can understand that, yes, you know, we're going to die, you know, it's Kali Yuga, you know, everything is mixed up and full of fault, and, you know, there are so many problems, you know, what is the use of trying? No, you know, we follow in the footsteps of Parikshit Maharaj that let us absorb ourselves in the Srimad Bhagavatam. In this way, becoming absorbed in Krishna, we go back to the, you know, the spiritual world, and therefore, you know, described there as, you know, those who constantly engage in remembering the lotus feet of the Lord do not run the risk of having misconceptions even at the last moment of their lives. So therefore, we get today's verse, of course, that as long as the great powerful son of Abhimanyu remains the emperor of the world, there's no chance that the personality of Kali will flourish. And Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada mentions in the purport, you know, that it is the duty of the able people started to check him by all means, you know, the nefarious activities of Kali in his ages. Although Maharaj wicked a lot of places for the personality of Kali, at the same time he gave no chance for the citizens to be swayed by the personality of Kali. So this is, you know, these are the activities of Prithvi Maharaj that in his life he checked Kali. And then he also showed that, you know, one should completely absorb oneself, even if one is somehow influenced by Kali, in what may seem to be a very unfortunate way. If one is surrendered to Krishna, one should never think, oh no, you know, there's no misfortune here. It is all Krishna's grace. And whatever happens, it is somehow Krishna is fulfilling our desire. We have that desire to go back to Godhead. Krishna is helping us to somehow think of him. He's giving us better circumstances and more intense circumstances to, you know, force us to absorb ourselves in Krishna. Because it's described that, you know, Kali Yuga, you know, generally we think, oh, Kali Yuga is full of faults and so many problems and, you know, horrible, horrible, horrible. Actually, you know, for saintly persons, this is described in the further cantos, that Kali Yuga is actually very, very special, because just by chanting the holy name of the Lord and the pastimes and, you know, the Srimad Bhagavatam and the characteristics of the Lord, by doing that, one can achieve the same results that one may have achieved in Satya Yuga by meditation, in Treta Yuga by huge yogis, in Dwarpa Yuga by, you know, very, very elaborate you know, worship of the deities and the chanting of mantras. Just by chanting Hare Krishna, just like we're doing now. So we're just sitting, you know, we spend a little time each morning. We recite from the Bhagavatam, we chant around like this. Just by that, we're getting the same benefit. We just perform massive big yagyas, you know, tons of ghee. The demigods are all present, you know, mountains of grains, everything made of gold, you know, like that. We've just done that. We've probably done 100 of them. Just by sitting here like that, you know, so easy. But Kali Yuga is, you know, it has, you know, another quality in that Kali Yuga really grinds people a little bit, and it sort of forces this sense of helplessness. You know, don't you feel that? Is it just me? Does anyone else get that sense that you just always feel a bit helpless? What's going to happen next? It's like, you know, you get ground to a pulp. Kali Yuga does that, and, you know, therefore you're always Krishna, you know, save me of what will happen today, what will happen tomorrow. But that, in Satya Yuga, you know, beautiful trees and the birds are singing, you know, that everything is nice. Everyone has got conscience, no one fights with anyone else, no one quarrels, they're all paramahams, just like that. So they don't get that same sense that we get in Kali Yuga, and therefore that sense of helplessness and utter surrender that Kali pushes. So not only do we get to chant the holy names of the Lord and get these, we're sort of put into that position of utter surrender, you know, so it's really good. You know, otherwise it just, you wouldn't do it. So, you know, Kali Yuga is, therefore, although Prithvi Maharaj, you know, one may consider, why didn't he just kill Kali? You know, perhaps it was a big mistake, you know, and everyone else has to suffer. But he understood, you know, Krishna has four ages, Satya, Tvaita, Dwapara, Kali, they're there for a reason. So he's not going to, you know, interfere with Krishna's plan. All of a sudden there's only three yugas. You know. Now there's four yugas, they have a plan. But, so Kali is there, but he showed us that yes, Kali is there, but you derive the benefits, and this is how to do it. You know, you chant the holy name, you absorb yourself in the Srimad Bhagavatam. So So as long as personalities like Prith Maharaj are there, the influence of Kali. So one may think, well, where is Prith Maharaj now? So all of these great personalities, they appeared along with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. All of those personalities, or many of them, appeared along with Krishna 5,000 years ago. They appeared along with Krishna, and today, of course, is the appearance or disappearance, I'm not sure, of Abhiram Thakur. I'll just maybe speak a couple of little things about Abhiram Thakur, just to show, Abhiram Thakur, who was also known as Ramdas. He is one of the main associates. He's associated with both Lord Nityananda and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, because when Lord Nityananda was actually sent to Bengal, he sent two personalities with him to preach, and that was Ramadas, or Abhiram Das Thakur, and Gadadhar Das. So this Ramadas, he was formerly Sridhar. So he was one of the cowherd boys, and it's described that if he offered his obeisances, because he's seen Krishna everywhere, if he offered his obeisances to a stone that wasn't a Shalagram, it would immediately crack into pieces. And he had a flute, and he used to play his flute, and just by hearing him play his flute, people would become Krishna conscious. And he also had a whip, and he would touch people with their whip, and if you touched, or you become Prima Bhakti. Touch him, you become Prima Bhakti like this. So one may question, is that possible? But actually Prabhupada did it even without a flute and a stick and a whip. Prabhupada did the same thing. Why shouldn't that be wrong? The call to a flute and the wind. Prabhupada, just by his presence, or you become Srinidhi Krishna, and you become like that. Wherever he went, he goes to Russia, he goes to, or you become like that. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has sent these great personalities, and they become Krishna conscious, and then, of course, they get that current, Krishnaized, and then, Prabhupada's followers, who they touch, they also become Krishna conscious. Srila Prabhupada said that, we know that Prabhupada said that, we were hearing this from Sureshwara Das, who did the seminar on Srila Prabhupada. We often hear that Srila Prabhupada is Islam. Not quite correct. He pointed out, there's a little impersonalism, that in other words, if there's some mistakes in Islam, well, Prabhupada is imperfect, because Prabhupada is Islam. So, and actually on the way down, I was hearing Srila Prabhupada was in Philadelphia, he was describing this himself, that he was saying, I am Islam, I have hundreds of centers, these all come from my energy, thousands and thousands of devotees, and I will say something, and my devotees, they will just read it and speak the same thing. Therefore, ISKCON is not different from myself, but at the same time, I'm not there. So he's referring to that verse in the Krishna book that Krishna says, yes, I am everything and everywhere, but I'm not there at the same time, my personality. That, as Sureshwara Prabhu pointed out, Srila Prabhupada is like the soul of ISKCON. So you have the body of ISKCON, the soul. Srila Prabhupada is like the soul. So he is definitely, when we are properly representing Srila Prabhupada, then, Srila Prabhupada is present. But at the same time, we can't say that, we can't say that if we make a mistake, that somehow Prabhupada has some imperfections like that. In the same way that, you know, Sursha pointed out that people say ISKCON GBC is Prabhupada. And similarly, you know, he pointed out that, you know, it's slightly different, that Prabhupada is above and beyond even ISKCON GBC. So yes, they represent, they're authorized to represent Srila Prabhupada's will. Srila Prabhupada is still, you know, above and beyond it. In other words, the GBC are also accountable, or everyone who represents Srila Prabhupada, they're accountable to Prabhupada, the ultimate authority, like that. So in this way, Srila Prabhupada is, you know, Lord Nityananda has fully blessed us, even to this very day, that, you know, these personalities like Abhiram, Das Thakur, and what have you, they're fully represented still in this movement. That, you know, if we're sincere and you want to go back to Godhead, then, you know, by the grace of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Lord Nityananda, these great, powerful personalities who are practically as powerful as, you know, Parikshit Maharaj, they're still here. They're still here. And if you associate with them and follow their instructions, you know, you'll become Krishna conscious and go back to Godhead. So I'll just leave it there if anyone has any